Now, last summer, a team of people from UW-Madison worked with the U.S. Department of Defense to search for the wreckage of a World War II plane that was shot down in May of 1944 in northern France.
Leslie Eisenberg joins us now. She's an archaeologist and forensic anthropologist. She's an honorary fellow in the UW-Madison Anthropology Department. Leslie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
Well, take us up in the air that day in May of 1944. What happened?
Well, on May 27th, 1944, a young 22-year-old first lieutenant by the name of Frank Fizikas was coming back from a sortie or a mission whose goal was to try and keep the Germans back from northern France. And after his sortie, his aircraft, a P-47 Thunderbolt, was struck by what we believe was German fire. The pilot, first lieutenant, did not bail out of the plane. He didn't radio for help. His wingman noticed that the plane lost altitude, went into a spin, avoided some wires, some electrical wires, and crashed in a farm field in northern France in a village called Bousqueur.
And after that, it seems like it was kind of a mystery what happened. The plane was not found. The remains were not recovered. Why not?
Well, there are many pieces to this story, not the least of which were the villagers in the town, the village where the plane crashed, and more notably was the neighbor who witnessed the crash in 1944, who at the time was a 12-year-old boy playing in his family garden, which was across a narrow road from where the plane went down. And because that area was occupied by the Germans at the time, the Germans wouldn't let any of the villagers get close to the crash site. And initially, the crash site was burning very heavily. The Germans partially filled in the crater that was caused by the crash. And over time, the landowner filled in the field so it could be used for agriculture again.
Okay, so the huge question for me is, 7 decades later, how do you even start trying to find this?
Well, there wasn't a lot of information except for the fact in 2012, a federal agency whose mission is to do the fullest possible accounting for lost service members, not only from World War II, but from many other conflicts, sent a front team out, including anthropologists, military historians, to re-question the witness and to try and determine if they could locate the crash site. You know, initially in 1947, the government did send out a team, but because of the fact that the technology just wasn't there at the time, they deemed the body non-recoverable. So we have the government going back in 2012. We have a team in 2015 go out. UW staff, and they questioned the witness again. UW hired a firm that uses a geophysical technique called ground-penetrating radar to see if they could locate any signal of something in the field where the witness believed the plane went down.
And you are part of the team that was there more recently that had more success. Again, it was a near miss because the witness apparently was a kid and didn't remember things exactly the way they are now. But tell us about how you did end up at the right site.
Well, at what I call the 11th hour, we didn't know if we were going or not going until about 2 weeks before we boarded the plane in O'Hare. At the last minute, an unclassified map from World War II that depicted an aerial view taken by the Brits 2 days after this particular crash site came to light. And you can see in the corner of a field, almost outside of the aerial photo itself, you could see what looked like an area that could represent the crash site. So on that basis, we went over with a permit from the French government, and as a public-private partnership. This is the first time Department of Defense ever partnered with an academic institution to look for that crash based on basically the field scar visible in the 1944 aerial photo.
So now you've got the site, and you were able to recover the plane and the remains of the pilot. Is that right?
Well, we had a team made up of UW students, UW student veterans, associate director from the biotech lab, someone from the med school, myself, and a Belgian historian and researcher. And we, at about 3 meters down, which is almost 9 feet, we started recovering larger pieces of what could be an aircraft. The excavation has not been completed. My colleague also, Dr. Bill Belcher, came in to assist with the excavation at the tail end. And so we know we found the crash location. It's pretty circumscribed, which means to us that the plane came in almost nose down. And so we are planning to go back in a couple of months to recover what we hope are the pilot's remains. And we're not so interested in the plane parts, but we do want to recover the pilot's remains for his son, who grew up to be an Air Force pilot and who joined us on site for a period of time this summer.
I know, very moving. Yeah, that part was an amazing story. I wish we had even more time to tell it. And we just have a couple seconds left, Leslie. What can people do if they would like to support efforts like this?
Well, everyone, if they're interested, can go to our Facebook page, which is UW Missing in Action. And you can also support our efforts for this particular recovery and future recoveries by donating either as a corporate sponsor or an individual sponsor, and we would be most grateful for that.
Leslie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Leslie Eisenberg, an archaeologist and forensic anthropologist, talking about the recovery of a downed World War II plane thanks to a group from UW-Madison. This is Central Time. Thank you.